Or to continue, make your way around to the side of the house. Here you'll see that Bill created what looks like a simple shrine. The man at the entrance is an elder of the Pijanjara tribe. You can imagine that Bill might have modelled him whilst sitting around a campfire at night, when the dry central Australian air was more forgiving on his clay. Opposite the shrine, hidden amongst the tree ferns, is another example of Bill's spiritual self, rising up in defiance of the destruction of the bush and its inhabitants. Bill writes, "Here is the ruin of a once living tree, burnt and destroyed in a forest fire. It's as if the spirit of the tree, resurgent, is threatening the vandals who thoughtlessly destroy the forests and their inhabitants, echoing the words of Jeremiah. I will punish you according to the fruits of your doings, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things about it." Take the winding staircase to the right of the burnt tree all the way into the grotto, as we hear a little more from Bill.
Between the white man and the dark Aboriginal man, there's a reservoir of great divine truth. That is what I've taken up, and that is the work I'm working on now. The best in the white man and the best in the dark Aboriginal man, both shall come together in a spiritual culture that was in Australia long before the white man come here to Australia. Then both Aboriginal man and white man shall both contribute into one common destiny.
At the back of the grotto, the inscription reads, "Mountain of Remembrance. In my dreaming, my love ever seeks the holy mountain." In our giving and receiving, our love in beauty becomes all ecstasy. The holy mountain, referred to in this inscription, was Bill's dream for the top of Mount Dandenong. Bill wished that one day the bush would rule the whole of Mount Dandenong, that all residents would leave, and it would become a place of unity, learning, and understanding between Australian Aboriginals and white Australians. This sanctuary is the closest Bill got to realising his grand vision of the Holy Mountain, where his dream lives on. Enjoy the natural and spiritual beauty of this place. Then mind your step as we backtrack to the hut, listening to a few more words by Bill. As I try to understand the deepest meaning of life, I have become inspired by a unique growth of love for the Australian bush. Because of that powerful love, I have become an integral part of my environment. Bird, animal, forest, mountain, desert, rock, water, everything, everywhere, at one time. I am linked indivisibly with all of them. When you reach the hut, turn left towards another slate staircase and take a few steps up to a fork in the path. Before you, a winged child floats above two hands that cradle the men below. You'll notice that this work differs from the larger works in many ways. This work is one of Bill's pre-1960s pieces, one that he created before his first encounters with Central Australian Aborigines. In 1958, while Bill was in Central Australia, many similar works were stolen, vandalised, or destroyed by intruders. This attack prompted Bill's friends to lobby for the protection of the sanctuary through the Victorian government. In 1962, Bill, with the help of his supporters, struck a deal that placed the sanctuary and its works into the government's care to be safeguarded forever. This unprecedented arrangement extended to the protection of the surrounding bushland and ongoing practical and financial support for Bill, enabling him to continue working unhindered for another 40 years. Continue up the series of steps to your right. There you'll find Atirant Yuka, a winged figure soaring together with Bill's spiritual self. On Bill's last trip to the center in 1962, he camped with his friend and tribal elder Atirant Yuka, a man who seemed to truly understand Bill and his work. Let's hear from Bill as he speaks about this profound experience.
His name was Atirant Yuka. Atirant Yuka, a possum dreaming. He told the old men of the tribe in their own language that he knew me in the same way as he knew himself. That is, a flowing of life in the dreaming. So I've got that work to this day here in my sanctuary here. He's modelled in full life-size man himself and me in a small figure as a flowing of life in the dreaming.
Bill has not only created a heartfelt representation of this moment, but with the help of Forest Commission workers has painstakingly elevated these works using a block and tackle mounted on a primitive steel tripod. Bill was so opposed to machines of destruction entering his sanctuary that every work had to be placed manually in this way. Pause here, or continue on up a series of slate steps and follow the path to a fork, turning left to my country, commonly known as Longbeard. It was here that Bill discovered the flow of a spring bubbling naturally from the earth. Bill wrote of his feeling that somehow I was related to the pure water gushing from the silent spring in the side of the mountain. He created a series of pipes so this water could travel and connect many of the sanctuary's works with the flow of everlasting life. After bubbling to the surface, the water returns once more to the creek of its origin. The inscription here reads, "To melt and become as the living waters, running and singing a flow of life in my dreaming." Pause here, or continue along the path to your left until you reach an oval archway. These oval shapes represent the symbol of the Churinga, an ancient sacred stone carried by Central Australian Aboriginal males into which intricate lines are carved representing dreamtime stories. Stepping inside, you'll find Betrayed. This powerful work is a manifestation of Bill's righteous anger towards the government of his day and his love for the Aboriginal people. Here, his spiritual self suffers alongside the Aborigines at the hands of the brute. Bill has written about his righteous anger. "I have witnessed the unspeakable cruelty and brutality which has been let loose upon the innocent Australian bush at the hands of far too many white people. For me, this tragedy will have meaning for the rest of my life." As you turn to leave, on your left, you'll find another inscription that reads, "Rebirth. I return to the point of origin, in myself, in the Alkira." It's interesting to note that passing through the oval archways found throughout the sanctuary is intended to evoke a rebirthing experience. Here in this space, you become a witness to knowledge, and when leaving it, you are reborn with the seed of that knowledge within yourself.